thank the Lord for the prayer tonight. Thank you, Brother Mike, for that which the Lord gave you. I give him the honor and the praise and the glory for it, but I certainly appreciate your efforts in praying for me. I hope each and every one of you will pray for me tonight as I stand before you, that the Lord would just bless us together in a time of worship. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to call your attention tonight to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Verses that are on my mind begin at verse 24, and we'll read down to the end of the 6th chapter, which is down to verse 34. And here we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ again teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, where he has called his disciples apart to him and he's teaching them. And this is part of that wonderful sermon that the Lord preached unto his disciples. In verse 24, he says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I love the language of this passage of Scripture, because it very clearly identifies that the Lord is not just talking to anyone, but that he's talking to the dear little children of God. And his instruction to them is not how they might become children of God, but because they are children of God, how they to live to honor and glorify the Lord. If you look at verse 32, he says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." And verse 26 says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And so you ask yourself, who is Jesus talking to? Well, the ones he's talking to have a heavenly Father. They have a heavenly Father. They're not being talked to and taught how to get a heavenly Father, or how to make God their heavenly Father, or how they're to do something in order for God to be their heavenly Father. But the language is clearly to those who have a heavenly Father. He says unto them, "Not the heavenly Father, but your heavenly Father feedeth them." And so the language tonight for us as God's little children is that you and I have a heavenly Father. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing to know tonight? That we have a heavenly Father. Now if we have a heavenly Father, we want to think about how that is that we have a heavenly Father. Did you and I one day along in our life decide that we think we ought to be a little child of God and we better start living right and acting right and talking right so that we might get acceptable in the sight of God and become his child? And the Bible clearly tells us that none of us made any decision like that. The world talks about making a decision for Christ or making some decision where you make the choice and because of your choice, God becomes your Father and you become his child You get born again at some decision that you have made. The Bible tells us that that choice was not made by us, but rather it was made by Him. And it was made a long time ago, even before the very foundation of the world. God made choice of His family. And as God has chosen us, we haven't chosen Him. God loved us before we ever loved Him. God is the one who purposed to have a family, and we are a part of that family, not based on anything we have done or could do or can do, but based on the very love and will of Almighty God. We are His children by His choice, not by our choice. And as His children, He's instructing us how to live. That's important to know tonight, so that when you get to the teachings of God's Word, you're not reading it thinking it's telling you something to do in order to get you into heaven, or something to do in order to get you to be accepted with God, but to recognize you have a God who loved you so much. Herein is that love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His only begotten Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And He loved us so much that He did not lose us, He will not lose us, but everyone that He has loved, He foreknew them, He loved them before the very foundation of the world, and then He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, which means every one of His children, without the loss of one, will make it to glory and be with Him and be made like Christ and be satisfied. And those whom He foreknew, He also called, whom He predestinated, those whom He predestinated, them He also calls, which means at some point in our life, He quickened us and made us alive and called us by His grace, called us out of the darkness we were in by nature into His marvelous light, gave us a hunger for the things of God and an understanding that we need God. Tonight, if you know that you need God and you understand that, that's an evidence that you're one He loved in covenant before the very foundation of the world. And that He sent His Son to die for, and the Son came, and every one of those that He foreknew, He predestinated, those are the ones He called, and He calls them effectually. And every one of them that He called, He justified, which means He paid for their sin debt at Calvary, and their sins have been removed from them as far as the east is from the west. Okay? No matter what we go through in this world, heaven awaits. It's there for us. Not because we get it right. Not because we do this or that. Not because we join the right church, or we get the right baptism, or we believe the right doctrine, or we do anything. Men say that all the time, but it's simply not the truth. The way that we are saved is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, and He did a finished work at Calvary and paid a sin debt that we could not pay and secured for us heaven and immortal glory. And by the way, that's done for every little heir promise. I cannot add one to that number, nor can my failure to do anything cause one not to be in that number. It's a finished work of Almighty God, and the works of God, according to the Old Testament, are perfect. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. For God doeth it that men should fear before Him. And that is the basis of what we need to know in order to get proper about how it is we live and act and behave in this world, so we understand it's not in order to get acceptable in the sight of God, but it is in order that we might honor Him with our lives. And we owe Him everything. Here's what He said. No man can serve two masters. And yet you and I, as God's little children, sometimes get wrapped up in that all the time. At least I'm going to speak for me tonight. I do that. Tonight we want to realize that we really owe, we may be obligated to men to some degree, but we, when it comes time to whether we owe man praise or whether we owe God praise, there's no question about it. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Tonight we have one who is to be given all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, and that one is the Lord. And our lives are about giving Him praise and honor and glory. He even teaches us that in the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I've often used this text, but I want God's children to see who we are from this text so that we might know what we're supposed to be doing. Why is it that's important for us to be here tonight? Why is it important that when the church doors are open, we're present? Why is it important that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God? Why it's important that we're living our lives in such a way to give honor and glory to God? And part of that is to understand who you are by the grace and the mercy of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he tells us who we are. He says in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation." That tells us that we are His children based on His choice of us, not ours. We are chosen. And we are a generation. We are a people. We are a people born of God. If it hadn't been for God's grace, none of us would love God. If it wasn't for God's grace, none of us would choose to follow Him. If it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't listen to what's being said from His Word. We wouldn't care about His Word. We wouldn't desire to hear preaching. We wouldn't have a hunger or an appetite. We would be living in this world as the Gentiles of this world without any acknowledgement or recognition of God. And I say to you tonight, wouldn't that be a sad way to live tonight, just to remove God from our lives in every way? And the man of the world, in all his thoughts, he says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Tonight, if you recognize there is a God, isn't it good tonight that we can recognize there is a God? When your family's in trouble, it's good to know there's a God who's bigger than we are. When your children have need, it's good to know you have a God you can go to and look to. When your cousin needs something or your nephew needs something, it's good to know we have a God we can go to. And He's God, and whether we acknowledge that or not tonight, if it had not been for His grace, none of us would have had the wisdom. The world by wisdom knows not God. None of us would have had the wisdom to know that He is. We would not pray to Him. We would not look to Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, which means he has to have faith. And faith is a gift of God that He's given to you. And tonight, if you can believe in Him, if you have faith in Him, you've got a lot to be thankful for. Because God has blessed you in a way that He hasn't blessed everyone. Because all men have not faith. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. Tonight, if you have faith, which is the ability to believe in Him and trust in Him, you are a blessed character. You're part of this chosen generation. It's good to hear there's a chosen generation, but if I didn't feel to be a part of it, that wouldn't mean much to me. It's good to hear that God has a spiritual Israel, a chosen people of God. But if I felt to be outside of that Israel and just among the spiritual Gentiles, which is really a picture of the man and the woman of this world, void of the Spirit of God and the life of God, and while we were among the Gentiles and while we were dead in trespasses and in sins, we had no love of God. We had no desire to serve God. We had no ear to hear the things of God, no eye to see them, no heart to understand them. And the best and simplest preaching would never have reached us. It would have meant nothing to us. And coming into the doors of an old Baptist church wouldn't be anything to you but torture. And the only thing you'd want to do is get away from there. That hasn't been the case for you. You have found something here and you have found something in the truth that causes your heart to be moved, that you recognize you have an anointing that's from above that has allowed you to see and to know that these things that are being taught are true. And as Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, He said unto them, He said, "Continue in My Word. And if you continue in My Word, ye are My disciples indeed." And then He says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what?" Tonight the truth will set you free. Amen. It'll make you free. And we are as God's little children, and I believe you have been made alive. And I still believe all of us have some grave clothes on, which are the drippings of this old world that are still on us. As long as we're in this old world and of this old world, we have some grave clothes that needs to be pulled off. And though the preacher can't call you to life, like the only one who could call Lazarus back to life was Jesus. Jesus called him back to life. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." But then He turned to His disciples, and I believe that's a picture of the ministry. And He said to those disciples, He said, "Loose him and let him go." They couldn't give him life, but they could sure help loose him. And the gospel does help Lucian. Listen, the things we're going to say tonight from the Sermon on the Mount, if this wasn't said even by Jesus to give them life, He's already given them life. It was told to them that they might be loose, so that when you're facing life's problems, you'll know where your help comes from. And God's Word can help you do that, can't it? And if you've ever been in this old world trying to make it on your own and you feel so beat up and so whipped, you get down and get discouraged real quick. And when you're able by the grace of God to cast your cares upon Him, that means just cast all your cares upon Him. And you realize that when I'm casting them to the Lord, I'm not casting them to the one who doesn't care about me. Listen, you think you love your children? You don't love them near as much as God loves His children. Do you think you care for your children? We'll do anything we can for them. We'll fight for them. If we can help them in any way, whatever that is, we'll, you know, Sharon and I have been helicopter parents all our lives, and we're going to just seem to be, that's what we're going to be, because that's just who we are. And when our kids need something, we're going to try to do whatever we can to help them. But I'm telling you, we've never taken care of our children like the Lord takes care of His children. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son in our room instead, so that we could be with Him forever in glory. And if He was willing to give and spared not His own Son, but freely gave Him up for us all, Romans 8 says, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And brethren, that knowledge tonight ought to affect how we think about things and how we live our lives and how we face life's problems. Do you ever get so wrapped up worrying about the week to come that you miss the moment that you're living in right now? Do you ever get worried about what's going to happen next year or what's going to happen the next moment? What am I going to do when this happens? It looks like this is the way things are going. So what am I going to do when that happens? I know I'm in trouble now. What am I going to do when I get overwhelmed with this and overwhelmed with that? We have instruction in the Word of God to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Tonight we're talking about not how to become a child of God, but how to live as a little child of God, because you're born of Him. You are a chosen generation, trusting in His providential care. Because the God who loved you so much that He's going to carry you to heaven one day is going to take care of you until you leave this old world. And that is every single day of our life. Even if you and I are fretting and worrying about it, He's taking care of it anyway. And it's telling us here how useless it is to worry, how unprofitable it is to worry, and how it is really dishonoring to Him for you and I to worry. Be still and know that the Lord is God. Be still. It's hard for us to be still, isn't it? Because we want to fix it. We want things remedied. Now, I want you to know and understand that our best efforts can't change things, but His, with a word, the Lord can speak and it stands fast. So with the Lord is the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The Lord is able to change in a moment of time the events of our life. If we turn it over to the Lord, He can make it better, or He can give us strength to live in the midst of the storm. And the fact of the matter is, He's promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. And if the Lord is with you, you're in good shape no matter where you are. Even if you're in the midst of the storm or walking on a troubled sea, He is able to take care of you. And we sing it, should we not believe it. God will take care of you. And I want us tonight, as much as we can, by the grace of God, to embrace that and live our lives in a way that we acknowledge that. He says here, no man can serve two masters. He's not talking about how you make the Lord your master. He's telling us that we have a master. And our master is not the world, nor the things of the world. Our master is the Lord. We have one who bought us. We have one who owns us. He said over here in 1 Peter 2, I said again, but ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, which means you are kings and priests. Tonight, you and I are priests in that we're to offer up spiritual sacrifice unto the Lord. That's why we are here. We are to offer up the fruit of our lips in honor and praise unto God. We do that when we sing the hymns. That's why our hymns ought to honor and praise the Lord. Tonight we sang, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. In that singing, we honor and praise the one who is thrice holy. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. He's the Lord God Almighty. And we want to acknowledge that in our singing. We certainly want that acknowledged in our preaching. We want it acknowledged in the way we behave ourselves and conduct ourselves. We are a royal priesthood. We are a kingdom of priests, but we are also a kingdom of kings. You know, sometimes we say we're weak and helpless and can't do a thing, and that's absolutely true in and of ourselves. But I'll tell you what the Lord says. He says, Paul said it this way, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I know already the Lord's allowed you by His grace to do things that you know you would have never had the ability to do, to go through things you never had the ability to go through. And tonight there may be things you're worried about facing. How am I going to stand up under this and under that? And I'm telling you time and time again, when we feel like we get to the... Sometimes God leads us through valleys that are so deep that we're made to see we can't make it on our own. So it causes us to get down on our knees and cry out unto the Lord, who is our strength. Remember that He is our strength and He's our Redeemer. And tonight He's our everything. He says we are a royal priesthood. We are an holy nation. That is a separated people. We have been called out to praise Him and to honor Him. We are a peculiar people. That word peculiar means we're a purchased people. We've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His servants, His slaves, if you would. He has worked a work in our hearts and has called us to be obedient as servants unto Him. And tonight, let us be sure that we're not serving the world and things of the world, but that we're serving God. For no man can truly serve two masters. Sometimes we want to do that. We want a little chunk of the world, but we want to serve the Lord also. Listen, we're told not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Those things, even as He tells us that over in the book of 1 John, He says for us over there, if I can find that real quick, in verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2, He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this doesn't mean we can't enjoy life and all the blessings and things that we have, but we want to keep everything in perspective. We want to keep it in the right order. He's talking about how we prioritize our life. What is the most important thing in our life? If I ask you tonight, and you had to answer the question, what is the most important thing in your life? I hope and pray that each of you would say, my Lord is the most important thing in my life. And my service to Him is the most important duty that I have. Above my husband, above my wife, above my children, above my family, above my job, above gaining the wealth of this world or anything else. Am I thankful for a good husband or a good wife? Amen. Am I thankful for good children or the children the Lord's given me? Amen. But remember, the one who's given me every good and perfect gift is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. And so all the duty and all the honor and all the praise belongs to the Lord. And above anything else in my life, my most important task is to be about my Father's business and giving Him praise. That's why He made me. And when God's little children don't know that and get off track, it's to their own hurt and to their own detriment. And sometimes we get off track, don't we? I get off track. I'm just reminding you to get on track. Sometimes I have a hard time with sermons like this because I feel so guilty myself. It's hard for me to tell others to do what I have so much trouble doing. I want you to know that I'm not saying that tonight because I got it so straight. I'm saying to you tonight that which I need, that I need to remember the most important responsibility I have in this world is to share the wonderful message of God's grace that God's called me to do with God's people. And that's the most important thing I can be about. And I am to put that first above all other things. It doesn't mean I neglect other things. It means I get my priorities straight and the Lord gives me the ability to do those other things in a way to honor and glorify Him. It doesn't mean I just say, okay, let everything go. I don't have to mow the grass. Or I don't have to, my yard's full of lees right now that I can just say, well, I'm just going to serve the Lord. I don't have to rake my lees, or I'm just going to serve the Lord. I don't have to mow my grass, or I'm just going to serve the Lord. I don't have to feed my family, or I'm just going to serve the Lord. A man who neglects his family has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There's commandments that we are to do and responsibilities God gives us to do, but all of those things, we look to the Lord to give us the strength to do them and the wisdom to do them, and then to bless our labors so that they'll be beneficial. Any farmer knows he can sow the seed, but he can't make it grow and he can't make it come up. He can't cause it to rain. He's dependent upon the providential care of Almighty God to bring in a harvest. And any of us laboring in our lives, whatever our jobs might be, whatever our calling is, if we forget the Lord, we have forgotten the most important thing. Because without Him, we can't do a thing. Y'all believe that, don't you? I believe that. So should we not believe and act and talk and behave like that when sometimes we forget Him and put Him on the back burner and kind of bring Him up when we almost have to, where we should have Him there all the time? And when He's in the forefront, it doesn't make you a child, but it makes things in your life a whole lot easier. Doesn't it? And this is the truth. And if you know this truth, it'll make you free. It'll set you free. Because you'll recognize, look, I'm not all alone. I'm not all alone. When I can't reach out and talk to Daddy like I used to, I'm not all alone. I got a God who can help and be right there with my Daddy, and who is already with my Daddy. And I have a great comfort in that. That though I can't be there, and there'll get times probably it's going to get worse, I don't expect it's going to get better. Dear little Sister Minnie today, I was talking about how my memory was slipping and how it worried me. She said, I hate to tell you this, Brother Gary, but that's not going to get any better. And I said, well, thank you, Sister Minnie. I appreciate that. And I knew it was the truth. But what's wonderful to know is when, if my mind would leave me, dear ones, I've got a God who said He'd take care of me. And if I don't know or have a clue about anything in this world, I don't have to be afraid about that tonight, because I know I have a Heavenly Father who loved me so much He sent His only begotten Son. And the worst thing that can happen to me is for me to die in this world. And for a little child of God, dying's not so bad at all. Because that says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I know we don't want any of our loved ones to die. And by our own nature, we don't want to die ourselves. But don't let death scare you so bad that you just can't think about even the thought of one of your loved ones leaving you. Listen, at some point, every one of God's little children are going to leave this world. Now, we'll either leave it in death, or the Lord's going to come and take us out of this old world. And by the way, we don't know when that time is. None of us have a guarantee. Sometimes we think, well, my health is good. I've got quite a few years in front of me. I've got this plan laid out. I know people who've worked so hard all their life waiting for the time that they could retire and enjoy life, and they just spend and spend and spend trying to get enough to make sure they're going to get through. And the very day, sometimes they never even get to that day. They don't get to enjoy it at all. I'm telling you, brethren, if God's given you life today, you live it today as if it's the last day that you're going to have. That's not my opinion about it. It's what the Lord says. If you're waiting for something to happen to get happy, you probably never will be happy, because your happiness is in the Lord, and the Lord is at hand every single day. And I want to remind us of that so that we know where our joy is and our rest is, and we don't allow the old devil to rob us of the joy and the peace that we could have in simply trusting in the Lord. Now, I know there are men who think if you're a little child of God, the devil can't rob you. Listen, the devil's working as much as he can to rob God's little children more than he is working on the world. The world's already running his way. The world has already got his mindset and his course. The world is already about what he would have them to do. The devil is working on God's little children as much as he can. He can't take your eternal life, thanks be to God. But as much as he can, he'd like to rob you of your joy. And does he not do that to us sometimes? Have you ever had those days where you didn't have joy in the Lord because you were just so worried about everything? Jesus has given us an answer to the problem of worrying. He said, first of all, we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means, I believe, we're not operating in the love of the Father. God's little children can sometimes get their eyes so much on the world, they forget the Lord. I ask you, has there been times in your life you've gotten your eyes so much on other stuff that you've forgotten the Lord and the things of the Lord? And you may not have completely forgotten them, But you've allowed those things to take a preeminence, to come in a place before the things of God. Listen, the most important thing you and I have in our life is our worship of Almighty God. And when we get that in place, it just makes all the other blessings God bestows upon us. And He bestows so many. Take the wonderful position they're supposed to be in, and that's at a place behind serving God and the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17 says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God's little children, we're meant to live with Him in glory. And we're just passing through this old world. Don't fall in love with it. You're just here for a little while. The house you live in, you think it belongs to you? We're still paying taxes on it, don't you? I heard a man today said, I thought I owned my house, but I'm paying the county such and such amount every month. It's like I'm paying rent on my own house. Well, guess what? One day he'll leave this world, and he knows that, and I'll leave this world, and that which I own will belong to someone else. I'm not going to keep it. Like a brother said one time, you don't see in a funeral procession, you don't see any U-Hauls. Nobody packs up everything and going to take it with them. And as a matter of fact, what would you do with it if you got it up there? It's not fit for heaven. It's of this earth. It's earthy. It was made for this world. And the blessings we have are for the moments and the times God has given us. And right now is the time He's given us. Let us enjoy what He's given us in the moment without worrying about what we have, you know. And again, I don't want you to think this means we sit back and just let God do it in the sense of taking care of us. God doesn't raise lazy children. He's called us to make our living by the sweat of our face. He's called us to have some plan and to be concerned about the welfare and the well-being of our family. He's called us to be concerned about those things, but He never called us to be overly, get that, overly concerned. He never called us to be full of care. He's called us to be conscientious about it. We should want to do the very best for our family and our loved ones in any way that we can. We're to be good stewards of every gift that God has given us, but we're not to be sitting around worrying about it to the point that we lose sleep or that we lose our health. And by the way, worrying is a waste of time. And that's not my opinion. It's what the Lord teaches in His Word. He says, no man can serve two masters. Let's get that straight. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Jesus says this, ye cannot serve God and mammon. And that word mammon simply summed up is earthly wealth. And whatever way it might be. For some people it might be living in this particular house. For some people it might be driving this particular car. For some people it might be having a certain amount of money in the bank account. For some people it might be some other thing of this world that doesn't have anything to do necessarily with monetary things. It's just of the world. It's of the world. It's going to pass away. And we cannot serve those. Who is our God tonight? Who is our God? I believe our God is in the heavens. And He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And I believe we are obligated tonight to serve Him above all others. We are to honor Him and to glorify Him, which means we put Him first in our lives. And then he goes on and he says in verse 25, therefore, because of this, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I remember that text is saying, having food and raiment, be therewith content, and godliness with contentment is great gain. That means if you and I tonight have food and raiment, that's really all you need for life. And I ask you, which one of us tonight would possibly say the Lord hadn't provided for us food and raiment? Now, that doesn't mean we have to have every pair of clothes you want or be able to eat whatever food you want. But it means if you have food sufficient and raiment sufficient, which one of us tonight would dare say we don't have food and raiment? The Lord has provided for us food and raiment. And he says here that our life is much more than food and raiment. I ask you, has God not given you in your life much more than just food and raiment? What a sad life it would be if the only thing that made life worth living for us was the food that we eat and the raiment that we wear, the clothing that we wear. Tonight you and I have much more to live for than just the food we eat and the clothing that we wear. We have the blessed privilege tonight to be able to come to the house of God and sit down with God's little children and lift up our voice and praise and honor and glory to the God of heaven and feel His arms hold us tight, feel the loving arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, have communion and fellowship with Him in our lives. Listen, if it was just the natural food and raiment that we had of this world, we were blessed. But if that was all that we had, think how much more blessed we are than that. How many spiritual blessings has the Lord, as the hymn writer said, count your blessings and name them one by one. That would any of us get done tonight if we sat down and started counting all the blessings that the Lord has provided for us? And he says, but life is much more than meat and the body more than raiment. And then he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And that's telling us the Lord takes care of the sparrows, and the Lord takes care of the fowls of the air, and the Lord takes care of the, they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Now some men might conclude from this that the Lord says it's wrong for us to sow and to reap and to gather in the barn. No, that isn't what He's teaching. It's not wrong for us to do those things. But I'm telling you, in order to have the things that you have, they have to come from the Lord. That if the Lord doesn't bless our sowing, there'll be no reaping. If the Lord doesn't bless the harvest, He says, if the Lord doesn't supply every good thing you have in your life has come from the Lord. That's what He's saying. In other words, we're not here on our own tonight. It's grace that's brought us this far. It's grace that's helped you up to this point. And God's grace is not going to leave you. And He says, if He's done that for the fowls of the air, and He has, the evidence is clear. He's done that for them. He says, are ye not much better than they? And the Bible tells us that we are. We're all those things that Peter, I don't even think I finished that, tells us that we are. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. And He's called us to show forth the praises of Him. And He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light that we might be enabled to do that. And so tonight, the most important task before us is for us to give praise to the Lord. Somebody said, why do I need to go to church? What am I going to get out of it? It's not about what you're going to get out of it. I believe you'll get so much out of it, but it's not about what you're going to get out of it. It's what God's called us to do. And that is, I'm here to thank Him. And God's been good to me. How about you? Do we have a reason to be here? Yes. Should I be thanking Him? Yes. Should I separate myself from a little while from this world that I'm not supposed to love so that I can come into the house of God and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God? And is that not my reasonable service? The Bible says it is. And when I do that, I find a great benefit and blessing in doing it. Not because I did it, but in doing it. And oh, we ought to remind God's little children how important it is that we do that. What I'm simply saying to you tonight is wherever you are and whatever you're going through, remember that the Lord's on His throne and He's in control of all of the things that we're facing in this world. And when we look to Him, we will find each and every time those things that we stand in need of. He says that, are ye not much better than they? In other words, if God's taking care of the fowls of the air, will He not take care of His own children? And we know He will, won't He? And He says, which of you... And then after telling us there's no need to worry, He tells us that it's foolish to worry. Because which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, I've read some men who believe that this is really talking about adding time to your life or age to your life. And whether it is talking about a height or whether it's talking about the age of your life, whichever it is, a cubit is about 18 inches. It seems to be a whole lot to add to you by taking thought to add to your height. That would seem like the kind of phenomenal thing. But a handbreadth, over in the book of Proverbs, it says you can't add a handbreadth to your life. You can't add 18 inches to your life, whichever way it is. I want you to know by taking thought and worrying about it, you don't change one thing. It doesn't make anything any better. As a matter of fact, it just robs you. In worrying, it just robs you. Does that mean we shouldn't care about it at all? No. I believe we should take it to the Lord in prayer and cast all our cares upon the Lord. I believe we should do what we are able to do and what God gives us the grace to do. But we leave the outcome to the Lord. We're to sow, but leave the outcome to the Lord. We're to do what God would have us to do as unto the Lord, to the glory of the Lord, but then leave the outcome to the Lord. We're to pray about it. Leave it in the Lord's hands. Somebody said, I can't do anything but worry. The Lord says you can. That is to have faith and believe and trust in Him and turn it over to Him. Now, how can you do that? Not by your own strength or your own power or your own might, but by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. I remember many years ago, Brother Mintz preaching a sermon one time, and he said about this subject, he said, men come in and they look in the refrigerator and they see all this food in there and they slam the door and say, I don't have a thing to eat. And then they go to the closets and they open the closets and they see suit after suit after suit or dress after dress after dress. And they said, well, I don't have a thing to wear. And it isn't about having food and raiment. It isn't sometimes about having anything. It's about having what we might particularly want at that moment. And it seems like, well, I don't have anything to eat. I don't have anything to wear. Shame on us, brethren. We ought to remember that God has been so good to us. And how wonderfully blessed are each and every one of us. If God didn't give us another thing in our lives, has He not given us so much more already? We know that He has. Then what is it that we've merited or earned? You don't want that. He has withheld from us the wage of sin, which is death. That's what we've earned and merited. And He's given to us great blessings and the riches of His grace. And we have so much to thank Him for tonight. He said, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. When you're walking along and you see those flowers, they just kind of speak to the glory of God. You look at them in the detail that they have. Their beauty is just more than you can imagine. The closer you look at them, the prettier they look. And the better they smell. And it's God's design, what God has done. And what He's saying to you is that God's the one who clothes the lilies. And Solomon on his best day, not when he's just getting along, but Solomon in his best array, in his best apparel. Can you imagine what King Solomon dressed in, that rich man, that wise man that God blessed so abundantly with so many riches above all men? What would Solomon look like on his throne? What would Solomon look like with his crown on his head and his royal apparel? He would be really dutied up, wouldn't he? He'd be dressed to the tilt. I mean, he would have all this wonderful clothing and all this on, and you would think, oh, no man was dressed. Even the queen of the south, when she came to see Solomon, she said the half hadn't been told about him and his riches. She was impressed with that. I want you to know that one little lily was better dressed. One little flower that God's made is better dressed than Solomon in all his glory. And if God takes care of the flowers, and God takes care of the lilies, and God takes care of the fowls of the air, will He not take care of us? The answer to that is clear. He says that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see, the fowls of the air do not have a heavenly home. They don't have an eternal dwelling. The lilies of the field are not going to be there all the time. The grass of the field is not going to be there all the time. It's going to wither and it's going to die. And men's going to gather it up and put it in an oven and use it as fuel. God's little children are going to be with the Lord forever in glory. And if He's going to take care of the lily and He's going to take care of the fowls of the air, will He not take care of the people that He loves so much that He sent His only begotten Son for? So why are you and I worried about it when God said He would take care of it? The answer to that is we get off track sometimes. And we need to be reminded. He says, O ye of little faith. And that's the answer too. He said, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So who's that talking to? That's talking to me, and it's talking to you when we're not using and exercising the faith the Lord's given us. What I'm really saying tonight is just trust in the Lord. Turn it over. Do what you can do, and then leave the rest in the hands of the Lord. It isn't about saying God's going to take care of everything. He will take care of everything, but He's called us to do something, and He's not going to do for us what He's given us the responsibility to do. He may at times, does at times by His grace, take care of things when we mess up and fail to do that. Thanks God, thanks be to God for His grace. But I'm telling you, what God has required of us, we're to do it. But once we've done it, we're not to worry about it. Oh, sometimes I'm sitting worrying about things that never happen. How about you? Sitting about worrying about what's coming tomorrow. And tomorrow may not even come. And He goes on and tells us that. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And I think sometimes, have you ever thought about how much time you and I spend on those three questions? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And wherewith shall we be clothed? How much time do we spend with those three questions? He says, take no thought. That means we're not to worry about it at all. No, don't take no careless thought. Don't be overly concerned, overly worried. That's not what our life is all about. He says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. That means the man of the world is involved in that. That is what he's doing. That is what we are by nature. That is all we know by nature, the things of a man. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? That's what man is concerned about. And he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Isn't that good? Do you know tonight there's not a thing you need that the Lord doesn't know you need it? And there's not a thing that you need that He will not provide? That's why we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can turn it over into His hands. And God's little children, I know y'all know this already tonight. I knew you knew it before I got here. But I wanted to remind, I felt the burden and the need to remind you again that God is on His throne. And though you're going through hard and difficult times, we can trust in Him. And He will supply exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And when we turn it over to the Lord, we can be at peace about it because Thy will be done. And He will supply those things that we truly stand in need of. And then He goes on and says what we should be concerned about. He says, the Lord know we need all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That means the most important concern in my life, it ought to be what we sang about. Did I serve the Lord? What did I do in His name today? Did I serve the Lord today? Did my words honor the Lord today? Did my thoughts honor the Lord today? Did my actions and my behaviors honor the Lord today? Am I pleasing Him when I'm going on my job? Am I pleasing Him when I'm driving up and down the road? Am I pleasing Him when I'm walking through my life? Somebody said, well, I owe Him Sundays. Some people think I can just give Him Sundays and every other day is mine. That's the Lord's day. I'll give Him that day. But all the rest of the days, listen, every day is His. Monday's His. Tuesday's His. Every single behavior and action of our life, we owe Him everything. And when we live like that, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll bless your Sundays to be extra special. It'll bless your Mondays and your Tuesdays and your Wednesdays and your Wednesdays. It's a blessing for God's little children to live their life seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Again, we can't do this on our own, but He's given us the spirit of power and the spirit of a sound mind and the spirit of love that we can do these things. And He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? Everything that we need in a natural way. And then verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. That means tomorrow's not here, so I'm living right now. I'm living in the moment. I'm living right now. I want to trust the Lord right now. You know, before we get out of this meeting, God, the Lord could return. There could be the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, and we'd be carried up to meet the Lord in the air, and all the worried things you're concerned about would be taken care of in a moment. All the things that trouble us, we're taken care of in a moment. One day the Lord's going to return. And we should live thinking today could be the day. Today might be the moment. And as we do that, We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and realize if tomorrow comes, I'm doing what God would have me to do and the Lord will provide those things I stand in need of. I don't need to worry about that with over... And I'm not saying you're not going to have some concern, but don't be overly concerned. Take it to the Lord in prayer and trust in Him. He says, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Which really is saying you don't know what's coming tomorrow. You know, how quickly God can change things. One thing we think, well, what's going to happen? Have you ever been wrapped up? But what's going to happen if this happens? Been there? An old devil loves to throw that at you too. What are you going to do if this happens? What are you going to do if that happens? And you sit and you worry and you fret and those things never happen. Sometimes the things you think have got to come to pass don't come to pass at all. The Lord just takes care of them. He removes them, takes them out of the way, and provides an answer that you didn't even have a clue about. Sometimes He's working on it down the road, months and months down the road, and you're sitting there worried till you get there, and the Lord just takes it care of you. You just wasted all that time worrying where you could have been resting in the... It's talking about resting in the Lord and in His finished work and in His power and in His might. Listen, God's real. Trust Him. We can rest in Him. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And I love this verse. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Which means we got enough to be concerned with right this moment without worrying about what happened yesterday. That's the past. Gone. Or worrying about what's coming in the future. That hadn't got here yet. We have this moment right now that God has given us. Most important thing. Sometimes we'll miss a church meeting worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Or what's going to happen when we get out of church. Or what's going to happen after church. The Lord is blessing us right now to be able to sit together in the heavenly places. May God really bless us to enjoy this moment together, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Because before that thing you're worried about might ever happen, the Lord could return, or we could go in death and see the Lord. Somebody said, well, that sounds horrible to think about dying right now. And I'll tell you, to a lot of people, the man of the world, that doesn't sound pleasant. But the only people that sing about death like old Baptists are old Baptists. We sing hymns about death all the time. We talk about dying all the time. And dying is not a bad thing. It's not something we want until it's time for us to die. But when the time comes for us to die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's how we're going to be out of this old troubled world. How we're going to be with Him in glory. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. I appreciate your prayers. Please continue to pray for me and pray for one another. That the Lord might truly bless us to live our lives one day at a time, trusting in the Lord, leaning upon Him. And when we find ourselves slipping off that, remind one another. My wife has to remind me. I have to remind her. We have to remind one another. Our church is here to remind one another. Remember, the Lord is with us. We know He's with us, but isn't it good to hear it sometimes? He's with me. He's with me. And He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God bless you.
$262.